I'm Bill Pollack on our Press Box podcast here on MissouriNet.com, and this week joined by Sean Weatherspoon, senior linebacker of the Missouri Tigers. Sean, we were just talking about Twitter, and you say you still Twitter quite a bit. And how many people are following you right now?
It's pretty close to about 3,500 people right now, so it's up there.
All right, so now how many of those 3,500 do you really know? I mean, just tag along.
I couldn't even tell you, man. I probably don't know 100 of them. You know, it's kind of cool though, because the fans can kind of get an opportunity to connect, you know, with players that play for Mizzou and their favorite players and things like that, and they kind of get to know what's going on in my everyday life, so it's kind of cool.
All right, so what's your little Twitter name?
I'm Sean W. Spoon 12.
All right, there you go. And we'll have that, too, on MissouriNet.com if you want to be 3,501 to follow him. So, you know, I've been following you for probably the last 3 years, and you certainly have an outgoing personality. The players will say you're a talker. Where did you get that personality from in your family?
I would have to say from my mom. She's a school teacher, and she does a pretty good job of communicating pretty much anything she wants to, any point that she wants to get across. She does a pretty good job at it, so growing up, I always, you know, just if anybody would listen, I would talk, and that's how I grew up, man. I mean, I would talk to anybody. We could be in a grocery store, some old man might come up to me as a little kid, you know, 5 or 6 years old, and I'd just be chatting away, man. And in class, I would always get talked successively on my progress reports and report cards, so that was something that kind of gave me a little trouble when I was younger, but now it's paying off.
Sean is a good student, but he's a class clown, right? One of those?
Definitely. That I would have to agree with that.
Now, do you have a big family? I mean, is it one of those where you had to fight for attention in the household?
Well, not so much fight for attention. I mean, it's pretty big, but the thing is, we're kind of spaced out. Like, my sister, I'm 21, she's 36, so, you know, she's the oldest, and then my other brother's 30, he's about to turn 31, and my middle brother, which is, you know, right above me, he's 25, so.
So you're the baby.
Spread out, but I'm the baby, so I got a lot of attention from my mom.
And probably a lot of attention from your sister, and I kind of went the same way, too. I got an older sister, and so.
I was kind of like my sister's little son, you know, that's pretty much how it was.
And I bet that was good for your mom, too, because that's like built-in babysitters.
Definitely. Helped out a lot.
All right, so where is Jasper, Texas? Talk about growing up in Jasper.
It's in southeast Texas, about 2 hours northeast of Houston, which is about 15, 20 minutes from the border of Louisiana.
What did you do growing up, I mean, in terms of sports? Were you just a football kid, or when did you get in football? Did you play other things?
It's a big sports town, big football and baseball town. And growing up, you know, I was about 5 years old when I started playing baseball. And played baseball all the way up until high school, around like ninth grade. And I kind of gave it up to kind of focus on football and run track and play basketball. I did all those things. But football was something that I started out young, you know, playing with the brothers and then just peewee football at the age of 8. And then all the way up until now, I've been playing that, man. And it's just been a ride.
You know, one of the things that I noticed when I was growing up, and you know, you kind of look at a baseball player, a kid that just focuses on baseball mainly, that's his sport, or basketball, or football. The difference between a football player from those other guys is that you can take that level of intensity up to something much higher than a baseball or a basketball player. I mean, I look at you and you look like a friendly guy, but you would scare me to death if I saw you on game day. What is it that gets football players up to that other level?
Well, you know, football is a real physical sport. That's the thing. You know, baseball, you know, you're kind of out there by yourself a lot. You know, you do a lot of things on your own, but football, you know, you have to be able to get your mind to a certain place in order to be ready to play a football game, and that's what, you know, kind of separates the good ones from the mediocre players. You know, guys got to have their mind right. It's kind of like war. You got to be ready to go to war. So what I try to do on game day is just get my mind to the state where the only thing that matters is football and the Missouri Tigers, and, you know, just doing whatever I have to do to be successful, and that's what helps me out.
Yeah, when do you start getting into that frame of mind? Is it on a Friday or
build up? You know, that's the thing about football. You know, you play once a week, you know, so you practice, and it's kind of like a big build up into the big game, and then, on you know, you get your last practice in on that Thursday night, and then after that, it's just all mental. You know, you got to get your mind into that right mental state to get ready to play that game. And we call that 48-hour preparation, you know, 2 days before the game. So that's pretty much how it starts off during the week, and it ends up on that Saturday.
All right, talk about a game day. What do you do to get ready? Do you get yourself angry? Do you get yourself focused? What do you do to?
Not so much. I mean, mean, it depends on what the other team has got going on. You know, if they're a team who's been talking a lot of smack through the media, you know, you kind of use that as motivation. But what I try to do, you know, I wake up and get a nice breakfast in, and you know, get a morning shower, you know, to wake myself up a little bit and just kind of hang out, watch other college games if I'm able to, unless we're playing, you know, pretty early like we're going to be playing this week. So I'll be up and early, ready to go. But once we get to the stadium, you know, you finish with Tiger Walk, and you know, it's always great to see your fans out there and people who support you. And after that, go down and get your ankles taped, get ready for the game, whatever accessories you need to get. Go out, get a nice warm up, come back in. I just listen to my iPod, you know, put a towel over my head and just try to get focused up for the game, but not really in an angry manner. Just to get my mind in that state that I need to go out there and be ready for war.
Do you get quiet then? Do you get quiet?
Yeah, definitely. Not a lot of talking to other people. You know, I just kind of just sit down with my iPod on and just kind of get my mind in that state, just hanging out, just chilling.
What's on your iPod?
Oh, you know, it's a lot of stuff on there, man. I got like AC/DC Thunderstruck. That's one of my game days. I'm Van Halen right now. That's one of my favorite. Lil Wayne, Young Jeezy, 50 Cent, Kanye West. It's just a whole bunch of stuff on there. Black Eyed Peas, man. I couldn't even tell you how many songs on there. Close to around 2,000 songs on my iPod, but on my game day playlist, around like 70, 80 songs I listen to.
I
bounce around on them, though.
Yeah, kind of flip what you want. I've heard players say that you like to sing during practice, during the week when you're warm. Is that true?
Yeah, that's definitely true. You know, I grew up, you know, in church, and I always was in the church choir, so that's something I've been doing for a while.
Now, what will you sing during practice?
Well, it just depends on what I'm hearing that day, man, or what comes to my mind. Sometimes Derek Washington gives me some suggestions. You know, we kind of sing together and have a good time out there, but, you know, pretty much things that get you in the right mind frame, you know, to get ready to go to practice and go to work.
Now, you guys haven't been in a studio at all, have you? Have you been working on some side stuff?
Not necessarily in a studio, but we do have Mac computers where we're able to have, you know, like, to record on a computer. So Denario and I and Kevin and Derek, you know, we all get together sometimes and just kind of joke around and make a few songs here and there.
So you haven't you know, published this at all anywhere?
Nothing serious.
I mean, would you want to share that with us? I mean, I'd be happy to put it on.
Nothing serious at all, man. Just some joking type stuff, man. So, you know, we won't get into it too much.
All right, talk about
time.
Yeah, all right, just for fun. All right, I got you. Talk about when you were being recruited. Talk about that process in Missouri. Who else was following you, and what ultimately played into your decision to come here to Missouri?
Well, I was kind of like an under the radar kid. You know, 2 stars on Rivals, not ranked really high. But I was recruited. My first school that recruited me was Houston, which is kind of odd because, you know, Coach Art Briles was at Houston at the time. And I was actually committed to them, you know, during the hurricane that hit Southeast Texas my senior year. I was in Houston the whole time, and I kind of got acquainted with those guys a little bit more going to campus and ended up committing to those guys. And, you know, now they're at Baylor, which was weird, you know, seeing them this past weekend and saw them last year. We went down there to Baylor. And, you know, the teams that were on me was Houston, Tulane, Memphis, SMU, Oklahoma State, A&M some, Iowa State, TCU. That's pretty much, you know, what it came down to. And then Missouri was in the picture. You know, Coach Eberflus came down and talked to me and my family, and he did a real good job of recruiting me, and I ended up making this my first visit. So once I came up, you know, it was pretty big. You know, I had a good time here, felt the team atmosphere, you know, liked the coaches a lot. The program was, you know, up and up, going in the right direction, and I felt like it'd be a great place. So I went back home, and then, you know, just kind of hanging out with some friends, went down to the mall in Beaumont, Texas, which is about an hour from Jasper, and I ended up seeing this Missouri sweatshirt in the Stephen Barry's sporting goods store. So I saw that in there. I'm like, man, it's kind of odd. You know, I just took my visit there. You know, it was the only one there, too. It was the only sweatshirt that I couldn't fit.
I don't think you, up until you got here, I mean, I don't think there was Missouri sweatshirts at the Columbia Mall. So.
Exactly. You know, so I'm like, what is this doing out here in the middle of Southeast Texas? And, you know, I kind of thought about my visit, kind of, you know, reminisce on what went on. And then I went home and watched KU versus Houston in the Fort Worth Bowl that night. And KU ended up beating Houston really bad. And I really didn't think I was ready to go to Houston. So I wasn't sure. So I called those coaches, called Coach Briles, and I told him I wasn't sure about what I wanted to do and I wanted to decommit. And then that night I ended up calling Coach Eberflus and told him I wanted to be a Tiger.
Wow, interesting. I mean, how mind-boggling is that as a kid in high school? They have to make a decision like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, when you're getting recruited by all these schools and you don't know who has your best interest at hand, you know, and it's tough to make the right decision. But I just prayed about it, you know, with my family and just talking to my mom, my pastor, my dad, my sister, brothers, and everybody. It just seemed like the right thing, you know, and so far, you know, it's been a pretty good situation here.
Now, I know Coach Steckel, the defensive coordinator, and I was your linebacker coach, but when Eberflus left, how tough was that for you?
Oh, it was tough. It was really tough. You know, just because I didn't know in what direction Coach Pinkel would go in, you know, I didn't know Coach Steck would be the defensive coordinator. I didn't know what would go on. But obviously they had a plan that was in effect, and, you know, and I support them in that. But when I found out Coach E was gone, I was like, man, I would have went. I mean, if I found this out, you know, right after Alamo Bowl, you know, maybe before I came back to school, maybe I would have, you know, left and went to the NFL. I mean, who knows, you know, and that's a lot of things like that. So, I mean, it was kind of weird at first, but I've gotten used to it. You know, Coach Steck and I got a great relationship, so, you know, it's just been getting better and better.
Yeah, talk about that decision that you had to make last year. I know you're very close to Jeremy Maclin, and just your own personal decisions that you had to go through as to whether or not going to the NFL was the right move for you.
It was tough. You know, J-Mac and I were really close, and, you know, we had a pretty good season last year. And toward the end of the season, we used to kind of joke around, like, saying we were leaving and stuff like that, you know, just amongst ourselves. And, you know, when it came down to it, you know, we really didn't know what we wanted to do, but we both knew we liked Missouri. We knew we had a great time since we've been here in college, and we're happy with the way things were going around here. So we knew it'd be tough to either, you know, to leave this place, you know, and that's kind of why Jeremy's his speech here on the day he decided to leave was so emotional for him, because, I mean, we're having a good time here. We love this place, you know. So, you know, that kind of took that into effect, and, you know, I'm close to graduating. You know, I knew I was going to graduate this December, so, you know, it wouldn't be too tough for me to come back and focus on school and stuff like that. But overall, I got my grade back from the NFL committee, and they said I'd be a third-round draft pick at the highest. So, I mean, it's not very smart to leave school to be a third-round draft pick. You know, Jeremy, he left school, and they said he'd be a first-round draft pick. He was a first-round draft pick, you know, so that played a big part in that. And then just coming back and just trying to, you know, lead better and become a better football player and do some things better at linebacker, that could help me out in the long run.
So, looking ahead, and I know you got plenty of this season left, but, you know, just looking ahead to your future, and when they do those grades for the draft, did they tell you things that you need to work on, or here's what you should focus on, or
not really? You know, the committee is pretty blunt. You know, they just call you and shoot you out a number. That's what they just tell you, a number, and you're pretty much off the phone. You know, so, but, you know, Coach Steck has his connections where he knows guys in the NFL, and Coach Pinkel knows guys, and, you know, they would always, you know, reiterate, you know, what guys might say that I should work on, and that's what I've been working on.
You know, we've been going here for about 10 minutes here chatting, and I didn't even tell you know, this is the Press Box Podcast. We're talking with Sean Weatherspoon of the Missouri Tigers. Talk about this season. How frustrating has it been? There was a lot of expectations of what this team could do, and it's quite hasn't clicked in yet.
You know, it's been tough so far. You know, we had some ups and some downs, and, you know, pretty much in Big 12 play, we've been struggling. So that's something that we need to fix here pretty soon. But, I mean, we still know that there's still a lot out there. It's not like we're playing for nothing, man. We know that we know that we can be successful if we go out there and put it all together and play as a team and just put our own personal agenda to the side and just play for each other. We know that we'll be fine. So we're just focusing up for this big one against K-State. They're at the top of the conference on our side of the schedule. You know, so we're just focused on going out there and just trying to stop the run. And we know they're going to run the football. We know that they got a great coach and some great players. So we're focusing up for that one and try to get this thing going back on the right track.
You know, it's kind of a cliche, but take it one game at a time, right?
Exactly. That's what you have to do. And I only have three of them guaranteed. So, you know, I have to prepare, you know, the best I've ever prepared, and just we got to get the guys going.
You know, you go back to that Illinois game. I mean, that was one of those games that head coach Gary Pinkel said he didn't even know if you guys could even play that well. I mean, it was that perfect of a game, and it really was. I mean, you guys came out and really surprised a lot of people. You know, you can say what you want about what Illinois has done, but, I mean, it was a very solid game. Did that actually detract a little bit? I mean, did it get to a point where when you guys didn't live up to those expectations, it got frustrating, you think?
Yeah, it did get frustrating because we felt like, you know, we did well, so well against Illinois. Why can't we crush Bowling Green, you know? And we felt like that, I mean, it's all about the way you prepare and your mind state going into the game. That's the thing, man. The way we prepared against Illinois, you know, we didn't have the greatest practices of that week. But in that 48 hours, we were really focused and guys were locked in. And Coach Pinkel said he's never seen a team like that, you know. And pretty much, you know, since then, we haven't been getting our mind state to that point that we needed in order to be successful as we were against Illinois.
Is football that much of a mental game? I mean, when you think of mental, you think of, you know, maybe baseball, golf, but
at this level, it is. because, I mean, everybody's recruiting great athletes, man. Everybody's going out there trying to find guys who fits their system, you know, fit their system the best. And that's what coaches do. That's what recruiters do, man. So we know that everybody receives a scholarship check just like we do. You know, so their coaches get paid just like our coaches get paid. You know, so they're going to go to work and they're going to be serious and be for real about what they're doing. So it's our job to kind of match that and try to step above that.
All right, we're going to let you go here in a little bit, but you talked about graduating in December. What are you majoring in after football? What are you looking to do?
Well, my major is interdisciplinary studies, which is kind of like general studies, but the main focus is communication. You know, I got a lot of communication courses I've been taking. My capstone is the family communication class. I'm in that right now. And pretty much, you know, after ball, you know, I want to be associated with football still. You know, it's a game that I love, a game that's pretty much changed my life and helped me out greatly. You know, and I appreciate the game because, I mean, it's so fun, man. I mean, to play this game, it's a privilege. So I'm going to be around football. I might go back and be a coach and graduate assistant. Who knows, man? But I know I'm going to be working with football and, you know, maybe I'm doing something around football as far as, like, media-wise. You know, who knows?
Well, communications, I find that a stretch with you, you know, given how much it is to try to get stuff out of you. So. Hey, Sean, listen, thanks for your time and best of luck. And hopefully the season, you know, you start picking up some wins there and finish on a strong note.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.